Test, test. Okay. I think it's just about time for us to begin. We're pushing 7 o'clock right now. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We're studying the book of Jeremiah in this class, and soon we'll be studying the book of Lamentations, as we're coming to the end of the book of Jeremiah very quickly. If you remember this, if you picked one up way back yonder, back in May. All the way back in May. We're actually on schedule tonight, and that's something that not every class that I've been in has happened to be on schedule at this point. With 5 weeks left, we're on schedule. Wednesday, August the 7th, we're going to be looking tonight at Jeremiah chapter 46 and Jeremiah chapter 47. And Sunday, we'll be doing 48 and 49. And then Bruce Crawley, next Wednesday and the following Sunday, he's going to finish the book, 50, 51, and 52. So that's how it's going to go. And then we'll get into Lamentations. Brother Dew will teach that, his last two times to teach. And then I'll come back to help with Lamentations first week of September, the end of August and first week of September, and then Brother Crawley will finish the class and we'll be done. We'll have transition class on September the 11th, and then new classes starting that following Sunday. And that, believe it or not, is coming right upon us, because today is August the 7th, so we're just a month away from this class being done, basically. It goes very quickly. Before we have a prayer, I just want to tell you today is my mom and dad's wedding anniversary, 65 years. And they were married 65 years ago today. So that's pretty impressive when you think about 65 years. That's, well, you're getting close, 63. Keep going. That's just something that boggles my mind, but I know there's several that can reach that, and everybody can if they'll work together and love one another and look at God's word and follow those things. And I think that this world that we live in is a world that's divided by a lot of things, and it starts with the home and the household. And I think we can see the root of a lot of the problems that we're having in this world today goes back to what's happening in the home. And I think fathers, first of all, need to stand up and be fathers, me being one of them. And the mothers and grandparents and whoever it might be, we can change things and make things better in our world by the way that we live for Christ, starting in the home. This story here in Jeremiah points to some of those factors too. The people, the families, the parents, the priests, the leadership, they've just completely forgot God, or they changed things and lied concerning God's word, or just simply didn't follow it, didn't do it. They didn't follow the Sabbath. And if that wasn't bad enough, then they started sacrificing the idols, and not only doing that, but doing it in the temple, in God's house, which is just always amazing to me to think that they fell that far. But I guess once again, all of you understand what I'm saying here, I believe, and you look at certain things in the world that we live in today, they didn't begin at a certain point. They started with something little, and then it kept progressing and kept progressing and kept going down. So eventually you're in the pit, if you will, of sin, and it's hard to get out of it. Jeremiah was one that warned them over and over and over and over again, and cried about it and desperately made pleas for them to repent before it was too late. yet they did not. Tonight we're going to be looking at some of the surrounding nations that were sinful nations and the judgment that was going to be upon them because of their sin. It wasn't just Israel and Judah. It was all the nations that were blasphemers of God and those that followed false gods. And all of these ones that did wickedness would be punished. Judgment would come upon them all. So before we get into that lesson, we're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to begin with chapter 46 of Jeremiah. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this time that we can come together this midweek Bible study, and that we pray that the things that we study, that we can focus on those things and help us to apply something to our lives today. Help us to learn from your word. We're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Please help us not to be hypocritical, but to be truthful. Help us not to be pharisaical, but to be loving to one another. And help us to always shine the light on our own lives and our own hearts as we study these things. Forgive us of our sins. Be with those that are mourning the loss of loved ones. Be with the Dalton family, especially at this time. Be with those that cannot be with us because of illness, whatever it might be. Bless them. Take care of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God Almighty used other nations to punish Israel and Judah. And among these nations were, of course, Babylon and Egypt. And in that day and time, Egypt was a world power, just like Babylon was, probably second to Babylon. So he used Egypt in his punishment, but it was only a matter of time before Egypt and Babylon were going to face off, because you got two world powers. Somebody wants to be the big guy, if you will. They want to be the dominant power, and the other one wants to be the dominant power. And then you're going to have them butting heads eventually. And that's exactly what happened. At a place called Carchemish, which is a famous battle, Pharaoh Necho of Egypt was defeated. It says here in the in this chapter 46, it's going to immediately mention this Pharaoh. In verse 1, the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the nations, against Egypt, concerning the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, and which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, defeated in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So this gives you a little bit of a chronological idea of when this occurred, and the word of the Lord that came. And this was against Egypt. Now, sometimes it's bigger than my little brain to figure out when and when things occurred before other things. And I think we could spend the whole class trying to figure that out chronologically, and we still won't know for sure on a lot of things. So really the point is, what is the point of what the message is here? Not necessarily when it happened, but what is the point? What is the point? So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet against Egypt. And he said in verse 3, "Order the buckler and shield and draw near to battle. Harness the horses and mount up, you horsemen. Stand forth with your helmets. Polish the spears and put on the armor. Why have I seen them dismayed and turned back? Their mighty ones are beaten down. They have speedily fled and did not look back. For fear was all around, says the Lord. Do not let the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They will stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates." Now stop right there in the first six verses of Jeremiah 46. These prophecies came to Jeremiah, and he gave them concerning the nation of Egypt, which was, as I said already, an incredible power in that day and time. But they were not the dominant power in the region after this battle where they lost it at Carchemish. Although God did use Egypt, though, still to punish, especially in chapter 47 that we're going to look at tonight, to punish the Philistines. And Philistia, where the Philistines lived, happened to be on the road that followed the coastline up the Mediterranean coast from Egypt going north. Not where you want to live if there's going to be a battle between the Babylonians in the north and the Egyptians in the south. It's kind of like I-65 came right through Bowling Green. Well, that was I-65 right through Philistia, okay, basically. They were going to follow that road to go north. So on their way, as armies will do, whether they're coming or going, they're going to conquer and they're going to destroy. And that's exactly what happened. And we're going to see that in the second part of the class tonight with chapter 47, the judgment on the Philistines. But here in 46, we're going to have judgment upon the Egyptians. And here it talks about getting ready for battle there in verse 3 and 4, polishing the spears, putting on the armor. Yet he asks the question in verse 5, why have I seen them dismayed and turned back? Their mighty ones are beaten down. They have speedily fled and did not look back, for fear was all around. So what's the picture of the army class of the Pharaoh here in verse 5? What is happening to them? They're getting beat, yes. And what else? They're fearful and they're running. Their hearts are melting, okay? They are running for their lives. They're discouraged. The mighty ones are beaten down. Even the mightiest of them, they were wilting under the pressure, okay? They were on the run. Yes, the Babylonians were the ones that were beating them down. God was using Babylon to punish Egypt. Now, as we've already studied in the class, what did the Egyptians do, or what did those in Judah trying to escape the Babylonians try to do regarding Egypt? What did they decide they wanted to do? You remember? They went to Egypt, didn't they, for protection. They thought, oh, we'll go down to Egypt because they've got a great army, and yet they did. And they've got lots of people, and they've got a place we can live, and we can be protected, and this terrible calamity won't come upon us. Well, it followed them down there, okay, because God made sure they were going to be punished all the way down there in Egypt. And here we have the case where Jeremiah is warning them and prophesying against them, saying, this is going to happen. They're going to speedily fly, and they're not going to look back. Fear is all around. I mean, it sounds like it's a full retreat, and not just an orderly retreat here. It sounds like a turn and run retreat, okay? There's a difference between an orderly retreat and a turn and run for your lives retreat. You understand the difference there? An orderly retreat is you retreat to a point to where you can stand again and fight back. That wasn't happening here with them. They were just running. They were getting out of town as quickly as they could. He even said in verse 6, do not let the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They will stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. And that's exactly what they did at Carchemish. Then, in verse 7, down through 10, in chapter 46, we're in Jeremiah. Who is coming up like a flood? Whose waters move like the rivers? Egypt rises up like a flood, and its waters move like the rivers. And he says, I will go up and cover the earth. I will destroy the city and its inhabitants. Come up, O horses, and rage, O chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans who handle the shield, and the Lydians who handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The sword shall devour, it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood, for the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Now, Egypt itself was known and still is known for flooding. The Nile River floods typically in most years, every season, rainy season, it floods. And because of that, the area around the Nile River is very fertile. Okay? Because the floods carry that mud and that nutrients out of the water out into the land. And then for several miles around the river there, you've got great farmland. Now you go very much farther, east and west, it's desert. And even to this day, it's that way. So that area, Egypt, was known for flooding. Now here he's talking about this army coming up like a flood, whose waters move like the rivers. Egypt rising up like a flood, and its waters moving like the rivers. And he says, I will go up and cover the earth. I will destroy the city and its inhabitants. And yes, they would go and do these things until they came up against the Babylonians. Come up, O horses, and rage, O chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans who handle the shield, the Lydians who handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance. Here is God's vengeance coming upon them because of their sin. They are going to be avenged. Excuse me. A little bit of a runny nose. I apologize. A day of vengeance that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The sword shall devour, it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. So what was going to happen to them? It's not a pretty picture, is it here? Verse 10. God's doing what with the Egyptians? What's he say he does with them here in verse 10? I hear whispering. What's he say in verse 10 he's doing with them? What's the scripture say? Okay, vengeance is coming upon them. Go on. For the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice. Okay? A sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. They are being destroyed. They are being sacrificed. They are being devoured. They're being wiped out, basically. Why is all this happening to them? Right.
At the Red Sea.
And okay.
The army was destroyed at that point in time in the Red Sea. They drank. The Israelites marched off in the dry ground into the wilderness.
So it goes back a long way, doesn't it? Because of the wrath upon the children of Israel and the way that they were treated by the Egyptians, there's not a good history here. Okay? And now, God's trying to bring judgment upon the Israelites because of their sin. And guess who's getting involved? The Egyptians. Because they go to them for protection. And God says, no. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring judgment upon them. And that's exactly what he does. And now Egypt's going to be destroyed because they're trying not only to protect the Israelites or Judah, but they are in sin themselves. They have denied God. They have blasphemed him. They have worshipped false gods. We can go back in Jeremiah and study all these things. But it's important for us to understand that they're a sinful nation, and God's going to punish them too. Now, all the way down to verse 13, the word that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, would come and strike the land of Egypt. Declare in Egypt and proclaim in Migdol, proclaim in Noph and in Tahpenes. Say, stand fast and prepare yourselves, for the sword devours all around you. Why are your valiant men swept away? They did not stand, because the Lord drove them away. He made many fall. Yes, one fell upon another, and they said, arise, let us go back to our own people and to the land of our nativity from the oppressing sword. They cried there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He has passed by the appointed time. So Jeremiah, as the word came to him in verse 13, the word of the prophecy of the destruction of Egypt, he talks about this city of Noph, and I have read that that is also known as Memphis. Not Memphis, Tennessee, of course, but Memphis, Egypt. And at that time, Memphis, Egypt was a great city, probably the greatest city, and it was to be destroyed. And these other places in Egypt would be destroyed also. And he said, your valiant men, why are they swept away? They did not stand, because the Lord drove them away. They're falling over each other, it says in verse 16. Okay? He made them fall. Yes, one fell upon another. That's what happens when you have a massive retreat and disaster where people are scared. You know, things just go wrong every which way. And that's exactly what happened here. And he said they're going to fall back to their own nation. They're going to rise up and say, let's go home. Let's go home. Let's get out of this mess. We're going to die here if we stay. Let's get out of here and go home. The problem was they could go home, but the Babylonians were going to follow them all the way down there. All the way down there to Egypt, which is exactly what they did. And they were going to be destroyed because of their sin. Egypt was a beautiful nation, it says here in this chapter. Let's go on down in verse 18 and following, in chapter 46. As I live, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains and as Carmel by the sea, so he shall come, O you daughter dwelling in Egypt. Prepare yourself to go into captivity, for Noph shall be waste and desolate without inhabitant. Now that's a great city, he's saying there, the Memphis. Not going to have any inhabitants. Going to be laid to waste. Destroyed completely. Look how he describes Egypt in verse 20. Egypt is a very pretty heifer. Now you kind of, what? Well, let's go on and read it. But destruction comes. It comes from the north. That would point to Babylonia. Verse 21, also her mercenaries are in her midst like fat bulls, for they also are turned back. They have fled away together. They did not stand, for the day of their calamity had come upon them, the time of their punishment. Her noise shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes like those who chop wood. Egypt was fat, but ready to be plundered. He said she's beautiful, she's very pretty, but destruction's coming. The mercenaries, now who are mercenaries? Anybody know what a mercenary is? Hired soldiers, okay? Anybody know any Revolutionary War history? Kerry Dalton, you probably do, don't you? You remember what they called the soldiers that the British hired? Hessians. The Hessians hired Germans. The British, the Queen, the King and the Queen, the King at that time, King George, hired soldiers and paid them to come and fight against the colonists here in the colonies. Okay? Problem with that is, it's just not the same. When you're hired to fight for somebody else, you're not fighting for your own homeland. You're getting a paycheck. Maybe it's a little bit easier to cut and run. That happened in the Revolutionary War, and it happened here also. They didn't stand. They turned back, he says in verse 21. They ran. They fled away together. They did not stand. They were destroyed. They shall cut down her forest, says the Lord. Verse 23. Though it cannot be searched, because they are innumerable and more numerous than grasshoppers. The daughter of Egypt shall be ashamed. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. They were going to be wiped out, cut down, completely destroyed, laid to waste. The forest to be cut down and delivered into the hand of the north, which is Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. 25 and 26. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, Behold, I will bring punishment on Ammon of No and Pharaoh in Egypt with their gods and their kings, Pharaoh and those who trust in him. Oh, that's a key phrase. Let's look at that briefly here. God says this, Behold, I will bring punishment on Ammon of No and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods and their kings, Pharaoh and those who trust in him. And guess who was trusting in Pharaoh? The Israelites were. They wanted that protection. They thought they were safe. They drug Jeremiah down there with them to Egypt. And yet the word of the Lord's still coming to Jeremiah, and he's saying, You can't get away. You can't get away. And I will deliver them into the hand of those who seek their lives, and the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hand of his servants. Afterward it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, says the Lord. They were going to be delivered. They were going to be destroyed. You couldn't get away from God. And neither can we. Can we? Jonah couldn't get away. He tried to hide. We do things maybe and we think God doesn't know. Or we fool ourselves, or the devil causes us to lie to ourselves in our heart like everything's okay. And it's not. I would say more than anything, what I would say concerning this story is, God is going to bring judgment. God is going to be fair and just. And we need to repent and be prepared for that day. If there's one thing you can learn from this, it is that one thing. All of the things that are in your heart, God knows what they are. The good and the bad. Verses 27 and 28, as we close out this chapter, God will preserve Israel. Back to once again the thought that there will be some that will return, a remnant, a descendant, if you will. But do not fear, O my servant Jacob, and do not be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Notice what he said, the offspring. Okay, so we're going down a generation or two here, okay? Or three. Jacob shall return and have rest and be at ease. No one shall make him afraid. Remember what Jeremiah was told to do? Buy land. That was a signal, because even though it looked like it was just about time for Jerusalem to be conquered, God said, buy land, get the deed. In other words, someday your descendants are going to be able to claim this land because they have this piece of paper showing that you own this land. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you, for I will make a complete end of all the nations to which I have driven you. But I will not make a complete end of you. I will rightly correct you, for I will not leave you wholly unpunished. The message here is they were going to return. There was going to be a remnant that would return. The offspring from the land of their captivity would return. But they were going to be punished. The other nations were going to be driven, were going to be completely ended. And he said, I will not make a complete end of you, but you're going to be corrected and you're not going to go unpunished. There's going to be punishment. I got mad at my brother when I was in high school. My brother's 4 years younger than me, smaller than me at the time. I got mad at him. He did something. I don't remember now what it was. Irritated me. And I had an aerosol can. Remember aerosol cans? Right Guard and all that was in there. You sprayed it. I guess you can still buy it that way. But I had an aerosol can in my hand, and I got mad at him, and I took that aerosol can, and I hit him in his head. Not good. Terrible. And I knew as soon as I did it, I messed up. Because he was bleeding and bleeding. And here I was in high school, approaching the time of being able to get in that car and drive a car. And boy, did I mess up. And yes, I was sorry for what I did. And I still am. But there had to be punishment. I got grounded for 1 month. That was a long time. I couldn't go anywhere with my friends. I couldn't go anywhere with them and do anything. And I still remember that to this day. So the lesson was learned, right? The lesson was learned. There had to be punishment. And there had to be punishment upon the people that had sinned against God. And they had been warned over and over and over to repent, yet they did not. Until it was too late. Do you think I should have been grounded for a year? A year is a long time now, Ivan. I wouldn't have wanted you representing me, I'll say that. No, I think I was very fortunate he didn't get hurt very badly, you know. Once again, I was very sorry about that. And I think that helped some. But that 30 days was a long 30 days, I'll have to say. You know, it really was. It really was. It's not like I was 12 years old. I was 16, you know. Chapter 47 talks about the Philistines. Now, I want us, before we get into that, chapter 47, I want us to go back to Jeremiah 25. Because I want us to refresh ourselves on what was said in Jeremiah 25. As the prophecy came to Jeremiah concerning the judgment on the nations. All these different nations. Okay? So in Jeremiah 25, beginning in verse 15, I want us to read these 11 verses down through 26. We've got 11 minutes left in class, so we should be able to cover this. It's a very short chapter. But I want us to read this first. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, Jeremiah 25, 15. For thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink of it. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and its princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is to this day. Now listen, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people, all the mixed multitude, all the kings of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, namely Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the people of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, and the kings of the coastlands which are across the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who are in the farthest corners, all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mixed multitude that dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth, and also the king of Shishak shall drink after them. All these nations had pronouncement upon them that they were going to be punished. And Jeremiah had warned, and you could go on and read the rest of that if you wanted to, we don't have time. But Jeremiah had warned them already. And now we're coming to the point where it's actually happening, okay? And now he's warning them again. Judgment on Philistia, or the land of the Philistines. And I already talked about where that's located. That's coastal, in the coastal plain there, along the Mediterranean Sea, where these cities in particular are. Among them are the cities that are mentioned here in this reading. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. Okay? So now you have Pharaoh, remember, whether he's coming or going here from the Battle of Carchemish doesn't make a difference to me. It's that he's using that road to go through there. So, like I said a few minutes ago, it's kind of like I-65 through Bowling Green. That's the King's Highway going up the coast there. That's the easiest way to transport an army. And guess where they're going to go through? Philistia. Thus says the Lord, behold, waters rise out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood. They shall overflow the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell within. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall wail at the noise of the stamping hooves of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, at the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers will not look back for their children, lacking courage. Because of the day that comes to plunder all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every helper who remains. For the Lord shall plunder the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Kaphtor. Baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long will you cut yourself? O you sword of the Lord, how long until you are quiet? Put yourself up into your scabbard. Rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord has given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There he has appointed it. The sword is not going to be put up. It's going to be used. It can't be put away at this point because God has pronounced judgment on these cities. The army's coming like waters rising out of the north. Now, I've read it two ways that this could have been either the Egyptians or the Babylonians, either one coming from the north, because remember, they had a fight. They had a great battle on Carchemish, which was in the north. But they came upon them in Gaza. And it says here, of course, that Pharaoh attacked Gaza here in verse 1. Look at the reaction of the people again. The city and those who dwell within, their men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall wail at the noise of the stamping. You can just hear it. The hooves of the strong horses, the rushing of the chariots, the rumbling of the wheels. What kind of courage will the fathers have concerning their children? None. They're so scared they're not even looking for their children. Now that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. The men have lost courage. They might be able to want to call on these other surrounding cities like Tyre and Sidon, which are way up the coast in the north, way up the Mediterranean coast, for help. Guess what? They're not coming. They are cut off from them, he says in verse 4. Because of the day that comes to plunder all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every helper who remains. No help coming, no reinforcements coming. They're going to be destroyed. They will be plundered. Baldness has come upon Gaza, he says in verse 5. Baldness signifies nothing being left, right? The land is made desolate. Ashkelon is cut off. With the remnant of their valley, how long will you cut yourself? Why would they be cutting themselves? What did people do when they were in mourning? They ripped their clothes and they cut themselves, right? Remember that? Ripped and teared their clothes and then cut themselves. It's going to be no point in cutting yourselves. It's not going to help, is his question, is his point. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be cut off. Judgment will come upon them because he has appointed it, as he says here in verse 48. Now we've got 3 minutes left. Anybody want to make any comments or have any questions? You know, one thing I wanted to make, just a quick point. Don't be bashful about asking questions, even though we might not know the answer, Nick or me or Bruce, but somebody might. And I think a lot of times we miss out on questions being asked. We have a lot of comments, which are good, but ask questions if you have them. You had a point or question or comment? Comment. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Right. Right. It's a puzzle. It's like a puzzle. The pieces are fitting together, you know, and there's an ultimate plan here. And when you read all this and study it, you can see that. Us having the 20/20 hindsight, you can understand it and see it, I believe, if you're honest about it. Everybody can see it. And then you talked about how it's pointing to the Roman Empire later on. What better time for God's word to be spread than the time of the Roman Empire? Because of the great highways and how huge that empire was. And Paul was able to go to Rome. You know, that's just incredible. God put his prophets and his teachers in the courts of kings and pharaohs and Nebuchadnezzar and you name it. And that's just awesome because he is in control. He is in control. Anybody else? We're done. We're going to be in chapter 48 and 49 on Sunday, Lord willing. So please read those chapters. They are rather lengthy chapters, so I doubt we'll be able to look through them all like we did tonight. But if you would, please go ahead and take a look at those, and we will look forward to that on Sunday. Thank you for your comments.